That's a bad admission that I'm. Carol, all
I can still do it.
As Kofiut Beis, I don't have the sefer in front of me. So the Rosh says that Al Tehi Momen Shalcha Chavu Lecha Yosem Igufcha, especially to Bilavro of Lameches and some other thing that some untoward type of action to do. So we challenge with this issue that money tends to make people do strange things. So there's two scenarios where money make people do strange things. One scenario was a person doesn't have what to live on and he needs the money to live, so I understand. So he's tempted to steal or to try and be maver the meches, even though it's very dangerous. In those days, smugglers were shot. So that's what he's saying. I mean, those days, I mean, down to the 1950s. Some countries, they still, you know, person would smuggle things across the border, we get shot. It was a very simple system. Person needed to live on, so he's here for his family. He's doing it for his family, right? So that's we sort of intuit the nisoyon which is there. He's hoping that he'll be successful. This way, his family won't starve to death. The more challenges the other end of the spectrum, which are people who they're very fachapt with money, and to the point that they do illegal actions to increase, you know. Some rather we have difficulty understanding the nisoyon between taking your $5 billion and making it to $10 billion, doing illegal things. Like, you have $5 billion already, like, you're not going to spend your whole lifetime anyway, right? We grapple with that. So money is a fascinating thing. I mentioned to you Rabbi Tversky's line about money. Phil Kim, the psychologist, about, right? I told you this. I said this in the shmooze. Definitely said it in the shmooze. Okay, whatever. Fellow comes to the psychologist and says, "What can I do for you?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "Why are you here?" He says, "I don't know." He says, "Well, you came for a reason. My family said I had to come." He says, "Okay, good. So why did your family have to say you have to come?" He says, "I don't know." "What did they say why you have to come?" He says, "They think that I'm crazy." "Why do they think you're crazy?" "I don't know." "What did they say?" "They said because I like pancakes." The psychologist says, "That sounds great. What's wrong with pancakes?" "I also like pancakes." He says, "Really? You have to visit my house. I have thousands stored in the attic." Right. That's the joke, right? So when you put dollar bills instead, it's called normal. Like, why? Why is it called normal? We live in a society which defines our worth by that. Okay, that's to some extent the explanation. But what's the Torah's attitude towards money? The Torah, that clearly, the Morse says, Rebbe was Mechabed Ashirim. You know, money is a phenomenally powerful tool. It's one of the greatest tools that Rosh Hashanah made in the Bria. There's a beautiful word from Rabbi Yerucham. Yerucham says he predicted that communism is going to fail. He said, because I'll say that there's, we said, you learn Gemara, you have to be a lamdan. Instead of a lamdan is always to understand the lumness, like why something is true. So we have a klal, it's an extraordinary Gemara. The Gemara says that, in Baba Kama, in the beginning of the fifth parak, how do you know Matsu Mechel Avaraya? The Gemara says, Gemara brings a pause, how many times does that come up in Shas, that phrase? That's an extraordinary phrase, right? Krol Amali Svaru. It's such a compelling Svara that it's, yeah, how many times? How do you know? Okay, good. Right? So Kivagra says that, Kivagra at the beginning of Shas says three times in Shas. I have no idea, but Kivagra says, so I trust him. Right? Where are the three places?
Nidam.
What, Perik? Okay, whatever. Next.
Hey, it's Mazar El Raya. It's another one I used to remember and another one I didn't.
Okay. What? It's Baba Kama, Ksuvis, and Nida. What's in Ksuvis? Peshas Mashiter. Okay, good. So, Kreger in all three places, Kreger, the Gineshas, points out the two other places. So, what's Zakar Abshat? So, it's such a compelling Svara. Like, why is it compelling Svara? The Torah gives tremendous recognition to the concept of ownership. Why did the Torah give such a tremendous recognition of the concept of ownership? Why it's so important? So he says, "Olam chesed yibana." You can't be a giver unless you have what to give. And ownership means that you have something which is yours. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu has something which is his, and he gives. So in order to be a giver, you have to, the Russian created a Ritzius in the world that we own things. When you come along with a social experiment which is taking away all ownership, the result is that people will be takers and not givers. And that's what happened to the communist regime. Everybody was busy trying to figure out how they can scam the government and get a little bit for themselves, because the idea that people are altruistic and they want to give away and they don't want to own anything, which is what the theory was based on, is why everybody happy. You see, it didn't really work out like that exactly. The people who got power corrupted them, and the people on the bottom were terrorized, and they fought back as best as they could, you know, to get their own. Or they collaborated with the government against their fellow man. So we're all the givers, right? So money is that vehicle. Money was given to us to accomplish tremendous things with it. It's an Osho. The Vilna Gaon, before he was nifter, he said he was crying that I'm leaving a world that for a few pennies you can buy tzitzis and put on a pair of tzitzis, which is considered like kolot kula. It's shakal the entire mitzvahs. Person gives a dollar to tzedakah, right? Help somebody. Zena yachol, zena yachol. More so, shneim chayavim. Also means zena yachol, shneim that they get the schar. So my donation makes an upkimin. My $15 that I give to like a yeshiva, why should I get the schar of the limud of the whole yeshiva? Without my $15, they wouldn't make it. Now, they wouldn't make it, but without everybody's $15, they wouldn't make it. So Zeneyahu Shem Chayav, the Morris says. Means that we do it together, we all get responsibility for it. Akre Kata, we give the person skila. So that also means Akre Kata, we get Schar and Shemayim when we do something positive. So a person takes a dollar and he gives it to Stalka. You know, the reason why I give the liquid, you know, I learned the liquid for the total of three weeks, you know, saying like with my full liquid stay in yeshiva. So I'm not, you know, I'm pushed them on their alumni list, but you know, because I was registered there. But it's totally selfish. I mean, it's an investment. You know, I want to get, you know, I'm not stupid. I got to invest my stock of money. I want to get part of the scarf, the limitator of like yeshiva. I also give it to the mayor. The mayor, you know, why? You know, it's quite a moisture. 6,000 people sitting and learning. Even if there's 1,000 people battling, there's 5,000 people sitting and learning, right? Okay, even movie, right? It's still worth it. I mean, it's a good investment. I still get more to tell us. Right, which is less people learning, but it's a phenomenal kayak. I just had a conversation that Shabbos. So one of the people there for the Shabbos, I was by the Shabbos brokers, the uncle of the Kala was one of the people involved in making me from. So he said a fascinating thing. He said that when I wanted to go to the camp, which was the catalyst for the whole thing, they needed to raise money. He raised money, $5 and $10 donations from people. He says these people can be nifter. He's a rabbi. He's a Manalva school. He says, he tells them the story without saying the name. He tells them the whole story. He says, people come to Olam Haba, and they're going to say, you know, that you're accredited with, you know, thousands and thousands of hours of Lima Natara. He says, what my shaykh is? He says, you're $5. Put this boy into a camp. And that set him on a path, which eventually he became a rabbi, and he taught Torah. Right? So all of the Lima Natara that he's getting of all this, I'll meet him. And any impact that he had on people, the guy gave $5 gets credit for that. So why are you keeping your $5 in the bank? Explain to me exactly. Okay, so we're not living in the Madrega, you know, that at the end of the day, the Rechaim, you know, he couldn't sleep if there was any money in the house. He gave every penny to his doctor. Right? Mr. Burr, you know, talks about such a Muslim. Right? What are you holding on the money for? Like what? It's security. Okay, you know what? So we're not holding a Madrega that, you know, the Russia runs the world. We don't need security. We want to feel like we have. Okay, fine. I get it. I once had was offered by a financial planner an hour free financial planning. So I'm a, you know, dirty Jew that I am. I said, you know, for free I'll do it. You know, for money I'm not going to pay for it. It was a waste of my hour, but I got a lot of shmuzin out of it, so it was worth it. You can just shut the door, please. You know, so either in or out, just because the noise from the outside is a problem. So I told him that I want to discuss how to make sure that I have money to pay for my kids going to the yeshiva, etc. So you suddenly have to work on your retirement fund first. I said, I don't want to work on my retirement fund. I want to work on my kids going to the yeshiva. He says, but you have to work on your retirement fund first. So he spent an hour arguing back and forth about what we should do with the money. And that was the end of the whole conversation. My hour's up. He says, you want to come back? I can do it for money. He says, why? Explain to me why I want to come back to you. Like, you know, give me a good reason why I want to come back to here. Here, another Mr. Shmuz. Right? Retirement, yes. And at some point in my life, I understand that that's part of my responsibility, not to be totally in the deep. Right now, I have a greater crisis, which is immediate. I need to make sure that I have money to cover to take care of my children's education. You know, that's clearly my responsibility right now. So, money is given to us as a hechatimsa to accomplish things with it, and you can accomplish tremendous things with it. The only reason why we want to hoard it is because either it gives us a feeling of security, we feel safer when we know they have money in the bank account. It's harder to look at, you know, all of your accounts are zero, and what's going to be tomorrow? I'm not sure. I got my job. I might be fired from my job tomorrow. What's going to be? I don't know. It's very hard. Yeah, I get it. Or because I feel my self-worth is defined by the amount of money I have that gives me a status. So neither the second one clearly is not a healthy. What am I? I am a bank account. What am I? I'm a guy who drives a Lexus. I'm a guy who drives a Porsche. I'm a guy who has a big mansion. What am I? I'm a very, very, very prominent lawyer. What are you? You're a human being that the Russian created. And you have value because whether you drive the Porsche or not is irrelevant to your value as a human being. And if you define yourself as based on a Porsche, you got problems. Right? It's probably not healthy. You know, you might be considered a success, but you definitely... And everybody falls. So then what do you do when you fall? So the Rosh is saying that the moment is just chavim to the point that you're going to endanger your life. It's an unhealthy relationship with the value of the dollar.